Standing in the middle of the sumptuously furnished room, the president scratched at his long jaw once, then decided. No fighter escort. Foster could feel his brows hike up. Waving an extended forefinger like a schoolteacher trying to get a lesson across to a backward pupil, the president said, You get our fighter jocks into the same airspace as their fighter jocks, and you're going to start a war. But if they launch those missiles, we'll have a war anyway. A nuclear war. The laser planes supposed to shoot the missiles down. Suppose the North Koreans shoot down the plane instead. Then they launch the missiles and we go to war. But I don't want to have some fighter jock get us into a war if we can avoid it. Foster got slowly to his feet. Mr. President, that just doesn't make any goddamn sense. Maybe not to you, Norm, but that's my decision. If there's a way to avert this disaster, I'm willing to take it. And now let me see if I can get the British Prime Minister on the phone before we have to head down to the Cow Palace. The Pentagon. Situation Room. General Scheib looked up from his laptop. No fighter escort, he said, his face dark, grim. General Higgins stepped over to where Scheib was sitting and stared at the decoded message on Scheib's screen, as if he couldn't believe it unless he saw the words for himself. From POTUS, he muttered. With a shake of his head, he added, Can't go any higher in the chain of command than that. Scheib looked up into Higgins's florid, big-nosed face. Able One will be a sitting duck if the North Koreans send out fighters. Zuri Coggins, standing by the newly replenished coffee cart, spoke up. Maybe they won't. If Pyongyang honestly wants to prevent the rebels from launching those missiles, they won't interfere with our plane. How do they know what our plane is? Scheib snapped. What if they think it's a strategic bomber, the first part of our counterstrike against them?
We'll have to tell them, Coggins said.
How? Send them a friggin' telegram? Coggins looked stricken, realizing that there was no North Korean ambassador in Washington, no diplomatic relations with the DPRK at all.
We'll have to go through China, she said. Get the message to Beijing and have them relay our intentions to Pyongyang.
Scheib gave her a disgusted look. And by the time that's done, Able One will be sinking to the bottom of the Sea of Japan.
Maybe not, Michael Jamil said.
Scheib glared down the table at him, but asked, What do you mean? Jamil licked his lips before answering.
Whoever's orchestrating this has some pretty good intelligence sources. Maybe they know about Able One.
General Higgins plopped into the chair next to Scheib. You've given the plane a lot of publicity, Brad. I bet there's some gook intel officer who reads Aviation Week.
Or an intelligence officer in Beijing, Jamil said.
Higgins gave him a sour look. You still think the chinks are behind all this? Dr. Fu Manchu, maybe? Jamil's brows knit.
Who's Dr. Fu Manchu?
The general rolled his eyes toward the ceiling. But Coggins headed down the table toward the young analyst.
Do you really believe this situation is being orchestrated by Beijing?
Yes, I certainly do.
Jamil started ticking off points on his fingers.
The North Korean nuclear program hasn't produced anything more than a test device. They don't have nuclear warheads. They had to get them from somewhere else.
China?
Coggins asked, taking the chair next to Jamil's.
Or Russia.
Second point. Pyongyang's government is in turmoil, but it would be suicide for a group of their army officers to steal those missiles and launch them at the United States.